Hey, everybody. Welcome to the In and After Show. It's me, Lindsay Loveridge, and with me is James Beckett.
Yo.
And we're here to talk about two different yet equally exciting episodes of anime. This week, we'll be talking about Dead Dead Demons Dead of Destruction and all of the destruction that took place within the episode.
Oh, the Evangelion vibes I was getting from this one, Lindsay.
I was watching and like, this is some Evangelion shit right here.
I was blasting Kong Su Sir Talk to my soundtrack so loud. Yeah. I was just basking in the glory.
Yeah.
Glory's the wrong word. It was a horrible, horrible tragedy.
Oh, yeah.
You know horrible what I mean. Tragedy.
Yawn, yes, bubbles. I didn't turn my monitors off. So if you are watching this, you may see behind me some rainbow bubbles just kind of bouncing around back there. Sometimes they get really intense, though, and they start like...
Well, considering what happened this week and day-to-day, that's kind of like...
It is kind of messed up.
It's kind of tasteless.
They were all pink. Yeah. Yeah, there were so many moments of horror during Dead Dead Demon. We'll touch on all of them. Yeah, I'm like ready to jump into it already because I'm so upset about certain things that happened in that episode. Before we get to that, we also have some news that we're going to share this week. Aniplex had its online fest, which has been doing pretty yearly since COVID, I think.
Yeah.
And just announced a whole bunch of projects. We're not going to go over all the projects, but we are going to go over two big ones and show some trailers. So stick around here to check those out. But without further ado, yes, let's get into the show. First, we have an ad from our sponsor this week, Hype.com. They've been here last 3 weeks. They've been supporting the A&N After Show. So we've got a quick ad for you, and then we're going to get into the good stuff. Here we go.
Are you looking to showcase your love for anime in a unique way? Check out Hype's official collaboration cases. Whether you're a fan of Silver Wolf, Persona 3 Reload, or Mori Calliope, Hype has you covered. With their PC components ecosystem, building your dream setup has never been easier. You can personalize your Hype collab case with touchscreen upgrades and a thick liquid cooler for that extra flair. Use code ANIME10 for 10% off all in-stock items on Hype.com.
So... is it just me or every time like Jackie talks about like, what did you say? Like thick cooling.
The thick liquid.
It reminds me of a delicious drink.
Yeah.
Like it shows the visuals and I want to have a smoothie.
You want to drink it?
Yeah. I want to drink it. Not normal reaction.
I don't think you're supposed to drink liquid coolant.
I don't think so. I've heard antifreeze tastes like Kool-Aid, but you're not supposed to drink that either.
How can they get away with that?
I don't know.
If Nintendo can make their cartridges taste all messed up so babies don't eat them, they should put some nasty stuff in antifreeze to keep these tragedies from happening.
Wait. They flavor Nintendo cartridges so babies won't eat them?
Yep.
But so like, because they're so little, the little Switch ones?
Yeah. If you ever lick a Switch cartridge, it is not fun.
I haven't. What's it like, though?
It's just like astringent. It tastes like licking a battery.
And
I only tried this because I saw all the things talking about how they tasted bad.
And you had to know for yourself.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to eat it. I'm not a stupid baby.
Yeah,
it didn't taste good. So
didn't taste good?
Nintendo did their job.
I'm not going to say that I'm not going to lick a Nintendo cartridge after this podcast, but I'm not going to, right? Okay. I can't help it. It's journalism. My curiosity is getting the better of me. I need to know.
You have to get to the truth.
I have to get to the truth. Yes. Okay. Hype.com, sponsor for this podcast episode. If you head over there and use anime10 as a coupon code, you will get 10% off your purchase. They've got all kinds of stuff over there, not just the big PC cases, but you can get peripherals, keyboards, keycaps for your keyboard, however you want to accessorize your PC experience. So
not for eating. But definitely but
don't eat any of it. None of that is candy.
Yeah. It's eye candy.
Eye candy, but not food candy. Yes. No. All right. Back to the show. Right. So we're talking about Aniplex Online Fest, which announced quite a few new properties during their stream on Monday. First one that I wanted to talk about, though, is Madoka Magica, because we have been waiting for a while for news about Walpurgis Nacht. So for those of you who...
year, maybe two?
Yeah, we got that little like ballerina visual a couple years back, and then kind of like radio silence. We got a poster recently, but we didn't have a release date, but now they're saying winter 2025. In anime time, that typically means December 2024, January, February.
That's pretty soon.
That's soon. Yes, that's really soon.
And maybe we can get some timely international distribution.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Where you don't, you're not basically importing the $200 Blu-ray.
$250 Blu-ray?
Yes.
Maybe let me go to the theater and give you my money to see.
Oh, this will definitely be in theaters. I don't think for a minute with like how rich we are with anime screenings in theaters that this won't
so good.
Get a theater screening.
Gonna see Look Back in just a month.
Probably more like weeks. It's like October 5th or something that.
Yes. So excited. I lived the instant I saw that they were on sale. I jumped onto my phone and I bought those tickets.
Yeah. Yeah. Quanti5 in the chat also said they saw Dandadan episodes 1 through 3 in theaters over the weekend. I want to know how you guys all enjoyed that. I've seen episode 1 through 3 as well. James wasn't able to get a ticket, so I don't want to like spoil for him, but it's
I mean, I know what's going to happen. I've read the manga, so like,
yeah. But I mean, visually, it's amazing. Yeah. So that's like, that's a spoiler. There is just like how amazing it I'm looks. So yeah.
How dare you spoil that, Lindsay? That was, I was going into it expecting it to look like trash.
And
now you're telling me that I'm going to be impressed by Science Saru's visuals.
You will. Oh man, I'm just like over the moon about the entire adaptation. I hope that they just like stick it through the whole thing because it's so good. I don't want it to end up on like Chainsaw Man, where the director has now left.
I can't talk about that. I'm so mad at all of the people that harbor the mistaken belief that the Chainsaw Man anime doesn't look incredible. But look, this one has all the colors and all of the flashing lights. And so maybe I'm sorry, I'm bitter. I'm not trying to be bitter.
Yeah.
That Chainsaw Man anime is one of the most incredible looking things that I think has ever been produced for television. And
related for all you people in the UK, I'm really freaking jealous, okay? Because they're MCM Fest or something like that. There's a convention happening there where they have like limited edition, it's Chainsaw Man anime on, you know, all 12 episodes on Blu-ray. And it comes with two vinyls, the vinyl soundtrack on vinyl. And I was so bad, like, I can't just, I would order this immediately. But apparently it's exclusive to the UK. I've never been jealous about your guys's
oh my gosh. As someone that routinely has to import from Australia and the UK anytime they have a nice boot like 4K release of a good 80s horror film or something. We need to get our act together.
Yeah, what are we doing over here? What are we doing? Anyway, so all of that was a long anime segue to get us back to Madoka Magica, though. So we've all been waiting for this Madoka movie while Purgus Nocht to come out. It's set for a 2025 winter, so it probably in just a few months. Who knows? Maybe Madoka will finally be free for those of you who watched Rebellion and saw what happened at the end of Rebellion. She's just been chilling out there. But we've got, it's supposed to be a teaser, but this is almost a 2-minute long trailer. So I'm gonna boot this up and we can speculate, comment, dissect the entire thing as we're supposed to do with Madoka Magica. So here we go.
So excited. It felt 2 minutes long, though. Oh, it looks so good.
Yes.
Looks so gorgeous.
Yes. All the balloons. Oh, there's Gara like...
Ibushi is back looks... writing the script.
Did you see it? Like, Devil Homura was like...
Uh-huh. Oh, look at that.
What is that? Was that like a glass body full of worms or something? Kyoko's there. Sayaka's there.
Kyubei.
I don't know what that was.
A little bit of Kyubei.
Yeah, Kyubei's there. Well, Purgus Nocht Rising. So the fact that it has like a subtitle within the subtitle makes me suspicious that this isn't going to be like a single movie. But
we're getting.
Because it's called Purgus Nocht Rising.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, anime movies, they get liberal with the colons and the semicolons. And
they do. Stuff. They do.
We can hope, but after how poorly. Now, I don't want to say poorly. I actually really liked Magia Record. Yeah.
Yeah,
the spinoff. I thought that was really good, but they definitely didn't have enough juice to keep it going for as long as they wanted to. So
did the game end as well?
It got shut down in the West. I don't know about the Japan, but I think it did because I think they started a new one.
There is a new one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that one took over.
Yeah. So as James was pointing out while we watched that, Genro Urobuchi is back writing the screenplay for this. So
yeah, it's not just story by.
Yeah.
He's actually writing the damn script.
Yeah. It looks like mostly, you know, they've got Gekidan Inukuri coming back.
You gotta have them. Their visuals are
essential to it, right? And then Akiyuki Shimbo is credited as the chief director, but the actual director is Yukihiro Miyamoto, whose name is not immediately ringing a bell. But, oh, he did the original, so that just makes me look dumb. Okay. But anyway, very excited to see this, that it's coming back. Okay. James, is Homura a villain?
I mean, she's an antagonistic force, sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd call her a villain.
Yeah.
In the sense that I don't think she's evil. I think she's just feeling a lot of real intense things. And really, I mean, is Oran a villain in Dead Dead Demons? Because that's kind of where we have to...
It is. Yeah, I mean...
She's got a finger on the pulse a little more, but still, like, you could argue.
Yeah.
It's kind of a similar sort of
situation. It is a similar setup. It is definitely a similar setup between the two of them. They have done some similar things for similar reasons. Mm-hmm. So...
But no, yeah. I don't think Homer is a villain. I think she's a very interesting, tragic, definitely a culpable... I mean, she's a criminal. She's definitely been
she's a criminal. No, so, I mean, I think you're right in that she's complicated, like, emotionally unwell.
Yeah.
About her entire scenario. But, and antagonistic, definitely. I'm just wondering if the resolution, Mr. A says Homura is no longer a villain because Aaron Yeager said, hold my beer, fair.
That's true. He became a villain on purpose.
So. Yes, that was also on purpose. No. So with Homura, I'm just wondering if like the only way to resolve the issues with Homura means that they like, which is freeing Madoka.
Yeah.
Do they have to put her down to like
probably
quantify?
I don't think this movie's gonna have a happy ending.
No,
that much.
No, I don't think it is either. I mean, I feel like in the end, like Homura's motivations are selfish primarily because she's acting from a place where she wants to restrict Madoka's free will and choice.
Yeah,
based on thinking that she knows what's better for her.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'd say. She's not a villain, right? To me, a villain has to have there's a certain lack of complication, right?
Yeah.
Like someone who recognizes that what they're doing is wrong, but still does it anyway.
Yeah.
Whereas, Homer is more complicated, but like I'm thinking the husband from Titanic, right?
Okay.
He's a villain.
He sucks. Yeah.
He sucks. He's a villain, right?
He
tries to get Jack arrested and all that stuff. Like he sucks. And yeah, he does some like, he helps that girl or whatever. And also saves himself to bring it to Titanic for some reason.
But
that to me is like a classic, like they suck, you hate them, you want to see them get their comeuppance. Homura, you just feel, you know, you feel for her. You kind of want her to succeed until you realize that her getting what she wants is terrible for literally everyone ever.
Yeah. Also, I guess we are speaking from our perspective. I wouldn't be surprised if there are other viewers of Madoka who really, really don't like Homura at all.
That's true. Yes. That's
which
true.
Is possible.
That's true.
Mr. A says Homura is like Killmonger, but gay.
Yeah. I guess.
That tracks. Yeah. Okay. The next one that we're going to show is this one's for the old heads, the old taku.
Mm-hmm.
The last one was for the Magical Girl fans. You guys might, sometimes you're the same person. I am the same person. So this is for everyone who was like, whatever happened to the guy who made Kite? Well, he's been working on something. And according to a post from a person that I would believe isn't lying on LinkedIn without like outing them, this has actually been in the works since like 2018.
Okay.
So, that's when the idea was around when the idea was being floated. So here you go. This is a new one from Yasuo.
I was thinking about what happened to the guy who made Kite.
You were? Like recently?
Yeah, I just, they're coming out with a 4K of Kite.
So, for folks that don't know, the guy who made Kite's whole thing is teenage-esque girl assassins who may also be robots and commit gruesome murder. Like,
boy, is this like beautiful.
Yeah. Stuff's usually hyper-violent, and Kite was pretty controversial when it came out.
Yeah.
to put it lightly. I think because it was always edited too. Like, we didn't get like an uncut version of Kite in the US for quite a while, specifically because of the sexual content in it.
Yeah, because Kite, there were cuts of Kite that are straight up explicit.
Yeah.
If it were live action, we would call it unsimulated.
Highly mentioned that they did make a live action Kite film.
We don't talk about that.
We don't talk about the live action Kite
film. We don't talk about Samuel Jackson's
goofy-ass
haircut.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I am more than happy to indulge in some tasteless OVA trash.
Yeah.
Or actually, based on the production values, I'm going to say tasteful trash.
Tasteful trash. So this is scheduled for 2025. It's called Virgin Punk, which is absolutely a title by this man in particular.
Is it an anthology? Is that what I was getting from? Because I was seeing like the first story is about this. So
this is going to debut early summer next year in theaters. It says 2 cinemas in Tokyo and Osaka. So that sounds pretty limited, which also makes me wonder like how graphic maybe the content gets in it. But it does say the first story in this series is titled Clockwork Girl. Yeah, maybe this is one of those things where we don't have a length. So I'm wondering if this is OVA dressed up. Yata Garasu. If this is an OVA kind of dressed up as a series of movies kind of situation or what. But
yeah, maybe like, 4 or 5 like 40-minute specials or something. Or...
Yeah, something like that.
Or like what they did with Garden of Sinners.
Yes. Yeah. Because each of those is more like an hour and some change, right?
There's like a couple that are full on like 2 hours, but then all the others are like an hour or something like that.
So okay. Yeah.
Still need to watch those.
Yeah. So again, like that's Yasunori Umetsu's like signature style, other than kind of the neon sort of or hyper saturated colors. The character designs are always very similar to that, although he's not. Those are his character designs. So the other stuff, other than Kite, and he also did Mezzo, which I haven't seen. And I think Wizard Barristers, which I saw a few episodes of. I think the production on that one fell apart.
I've not seen that one. I've seen, I saw both Kite and Mezzo.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
This was sort of like the pinnacle of like, this isn't for kids. This is adult animation kind of stuff that was out during that period. Like,
I'll be honest. I definitely watched them when I was in high school because I was told that they'd be really violent and filled with boobs.
Yes, like, exactly. Okay. Right. Cool. Like, if you were a little too young to have caught like Wicked City and stuff like that, this was sort of like the next generation of that. Yeah.
It was that. It was Ninja Scroll.
Yes.
The other one that we always, my library stocked it and didn't keep it out of my grubby little teenage hands for whatever.
Was Ninja Scroll, or is there a third one we're trying to think of? Because mostly Ninja Scroll, I think, was one of the first.
That was like the probably the most famous one where it was just I'm sure there's another one that we're not thinking of, but
possibly. Quanti5 says, is Wizard Barristers the one where the girl makes mechs with playground? So I don't recall. I remember like a subway train sequence. When I watched an episode or so that, I mean, the context of Wizard Barristers is that they are both wizards and lawyers. And
that's amazing.
It is. So it's like, it's magical law and there's like a courtroom and everything. I was like, great. This is like Ace Attorney kind of with magic. I want to watch it, but I fell off and then apparently it started falling apart. So.
Gantz. Gantz was the
other Gantz one. Is the other one. The Gantz is the other one. Yeah.
That's the one where I was like, I need to watch this because every trailer is just like boobs, exploding heads, more boobs, more exploding heads.
Everyone's wearing like latex body suits.
It's the greatest thing ever made. Why would anyone watch anything other than this?
The little like amygdala in your brain is just like firing, like need to watch.
Main character hates everyone because everyone sucks. Just like I hate everyone because everyone sucks.
Yes, absolutely. Oh man. So if you miss that, this kind of looks like maybe it's that again. And I'll be honest, like I haven't gotten a serving of that in a while, and I hope it's stupid, like in the right way, right? Yeah. Like I don't need it to be very deep, philosophical.
Honestly, it will be better if the plot does not make sense.
Yes.
But I'm treating this purely as like a tone like pastiche thing where it's like, yeah, give me a dub where everyone sounds like they don't quite understand what they're saying. Give me gratuitous violence and just completely tasteless, over the top sex comedy, murder, whatever, just all of
it. I mean, Kite was something where it's like, I think one of the most famous scenes from it like involves just beating the shit out of someone in a bathroom. It's just like, yeah, it's just that decapitation by bullets, you know, just like stupid, but absolutely.
I feel like the that's what I really liked. Garo vanishing line had like a little bit of that going on. It's still very, you know, it was still very in the realm of like acceptable for broadcast television, but it had a little bit of that stupid energy, and I really appreciated that about that show.
Yeah, I feel like the closest thing, I feel like these go right up next to like the height of Takashi Miike's career in live action, like Ichi the Killer.
Yes.
Oh man, like I watched that in high school too, and
or when Hideaki Anno did that Cutie Honey movie.
I didn't see that one, but I mean, yeah.
What was the one? It was on Netflix recently. Speaking of the, and it was, it's like the metal one about like the immortal elf.
Key the metal idol?
No, maybe. Like the one of the main characters' names is like Dio, like literally like Ronnie James Dio.
Oh, you're talking about Bastard?
Yeah, no. Maybe Bastard. It might be Bastard. Okay. We watched it for Preview Guide not too long ago, and I was like, yes, more of this. And then I didn't watch any more of it because we watched way too many shows and just have enough time. But
No, I was I thought you were gonna bring up Audition, which was like the other horror movie that like I've actually never watched it, just because it's like I know what happens in this, and I don't know if I visually.
It's gonna make you upset. It's not gonna make you feel good. Not gonna make you feel good. It was Bastard. Thank you, Pooey Pooey Molly. Like Hostel. We're watching Hostel. Yeah. Like when I watched that movie, and like that was I was into like the, you know, the Saw, the lore. And when I watched Hostel, I was like, yeah, this is what I expected. I don't know why I would have expected anything different.
It's
a bunch of people dying in horrible ways.
Yeah, I think I watched Saw up and through where there was one where a lady fell into a pit of like used needles or something.
Oh yeah, that was only the second one. I watched all of those. I was obsessed with Saw.
I was like, that one got under my skin enough, and I think there was maybe a part in one where they did stuff with fingernails, and I'm like, I can't abide by fingernails stuff, you know? Yeah, anyway, so if everything we just described sounds like a fun time to you, you should keep your eyes on Virgin Punk and when we might be able to see it over here, especially since it's kind of sounds like a kind of a wonky theatrical release, so hopefully somebody. All right, our last news article is leakers. You done did too much. Yep. So we talked on this earlier when there was a huge breach of some of the shows for this upcoming season, and it looked like there was a security breach at a studio that works with Netflix specifically for dubbing or whatever. They released really poor quality tiny video of a whole bunch of different shows onto the internet, and that seemed to have also spurred on someone else to release a couple videos that were shown at Japan Expo. Honestly, none of those specific titles, though, are the ones that are named in this article that I'm about to tell you about. So Aniplex and Toho have successfully filed for information disclosure in the U.S. courts to get the identities of owners of alleged leak accounts. This was filed on August 20th, and so the courts were formally served the order on the August 30th, and the companies filed for the order of the unauthorized leaks video and stills. This is from Demon Slayer and Jujutsu Kaisen on Twitter. So this is related to leaks that were uploaded onto Twitter. And they're trying to get the identifying information for people who own those accounts to possibly make them legally liable or financially liable for damages. Yeah. So Aniplex and Toho, like, I'm curious if this will expand beyond that. The videos that we talked about earlier, those weren't leaked. They were probably put on Twitter, but that's not where they were originally leaked to.
They were proliferated on
Twitter. Yeah, they proliferated on Twitter. So, and I don't see why this couldn't potentially lead to similar filing similar information disclosures for those accounts as well. Like, even if you weren't the original leaker, if you helped proliferate it, I don't know what the distinction is
between sharing leaked content and actually like being the one who violated whatever contract you've signed for the place you work at or for the event you were at or what. I have no idea what the legalese would be there, but at the very least, it's going to, like, you know, I'm sure it'll get to the point where if you do that, you know, the websites would just start nuking your accounts because they don't want to be held liable.
Yeah.
Because that's really like, that's the threat to the businesses, is that if they can't go after the individuals, they'll go after the platforms, and the platforms don't want to deal with any of that. And so right. they'll just shut it all down. And I mean, look, I've been on the record of not loving how draconian IP law has become in the past 100 years. I don't think it's good for anyone, really. That being said, you can't legally do that. You can't just share other people's copyrighted
You can't access, like, file upload databases where companies are storing these files prior to preparing them for air, and then just upload them onto the internet. Like,
it's like it's like when those guys made that Switch emulator, and I get it. Like, preservation is important, and a lot of these companies are not doing the best when it comes to making their stuff accessible. But especially when we're talking about shows that are, like, they're coming out, they're in production. It's not like you're saving something from being lost media. You're just violating people's copyright and, you know, spoiling the discourse and the rollout and all, you know, all the meticulously planned marketing and everything. And you're making it so that the people that actually enjoy these things responsibly, like at expos and stuff, might not have that opportunity in the future because companies aren't going to want to take the risk.
Yeah. Wandering Dreamer brings up, hasn't this happened before? I remember since Funi went after leakers and such years ago, that time that they sued 1,337 One Piece leakers, like, that was when Leet was already on its way out by the time. I remember that. Let me look that up real quick.
That was a while ago.
Yeah, my brain is just full of this instead of anything else. So that was over BitTorrent users. So, they may not have been leaking things. Those may have been uploads of content that already existed, like someone.
So that at that point, we're just talking piracy, right? Like the.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like, they said Funimation believes that the identities of the defendants and, quote, additional infringing parties, end quote, will be revealed during the pretrial discovery phase of the lawsuit, and it will then amend the suit to include their names. So it's possible that I would have to look a little more into the case, like, that was when it was first filed, and see what the follow-up was. Obviously, they were trying to do the same thing, but I guess what makes this a first as far as issued a discovery order, they're going about it slightly differently because it's related to leaks as opposed to just a discovery order to discover people who are illegally sharing.
Yeah, or like the
pre-existing material.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's not like all those anime piracy piracy sites that just got shut down, right? Not anime, but like all the 1.5 movies.net.com, all those things that just got the huge shutdown they just did.
Yeah, mostly due to Top Gun Maverick, I think, was like.
Guys, don't fuck with Tom Cruise. I don't understand how people can still make this mistake. He has the Church of Scientology and an army of lawyers. And
yes.
The willpower of 1,000 coked out Spartan soldiers in his heart. He will not rest until you are watching his movies in theaters that are properly equipped with adequate sound. I feel like if those piracy sites were like streaming the movies in 4K with like Dolby Atmos, he might have cut them some slack. He's like, these bastards are sending my shit out there in like 480p with like this god-awful compression, and they need to be stopped.
And they have pop-up ads everywhere. Yeah.
I gotta say, I have to respect that. That's a Tom Cruise W.
Rare Tom Cruise W. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I like Tom Cruise, kind of insane personal beliefs and questionable abusive church authority aside.
That's like a huge asterisk that you just added on. I know. That was like a footnote.
I mean, you have to, right? At this point, Tom Cruise is kind of like Taylor Swift or like any other celebrity that has like a small nation's worth of political and financial influence on the world.
Yeah.
Where you don't get to be that big without being kind of evil in some way. And so you have to kind of like pick and choose. Like
for scale, again, I just got back on LinkedIn recently, and people are just, they'll tell you anything on there. So something else that I saw on LinkedIn was that when Taylor Swift posted her support for Kamala Harris, this person on LinkedIn, at least, stated that over 300,000 people went to like the register to vote page link. On her social media post. It had like a unique hash or something on it, so you could tell the people who were coming from that social media post.
Yeah.
And it's like 300,000 people?
Taylor Swift might genuinely save this election. And I mean, that's the world we live in, and we just have to accept that. And
I guess so.
We might owe Taylor Swift a hell of a lot in a couple of months. We'll just have to see.
Hope her cat lives like a queen.
I will buy 20,000 copies of the Tortured Poet
Society. No, James, don't do that. Okay, that's it's still a bad album.
But it has the Florence one. The Florence track is
the Florence one is good.
I like that one.
That one's good. But you should just buy more Florence. Is what I gotta say to that. So anyway, obviously this is still developing. But yes, I hope that helped sort of explain why this is the first U.S. court discovery order issued in relation to anime leaks, as opposed to just in relation to anime piracy.
Distribution.
Not quite the same thing, I guess. So
we're setting precedents here. That's the important part.
Yes, that's the important part. All right. So what should we do, James? Yatagarasu or Dead Dead Demon first?
Probably Dead Dead Demon.
Okay, Dead Dead Demon. All right. So when James and I were mentioning earlier in the show that this went full Evangelion, this was at least one of the shots that I think fits that.
Oh yeah, just I wasn't like, being subtle.
There's like a giant wormhole opens, and then a hand made entirely out of little cube bricks, which are like the ones that we've seen, I think, during like the timeline stuff.
Yes.
So like, I don't know if this is like a manifestation of time or God or something, but it just pokes a little finger.
And this is like the black egg from the Evangelion.
Yeah.
This is basically an inverse of the end of Evangelion, which I'm okay with because
it's
one of the best movies ever made. And if you're going to show a horrible apocalyptic meltdown of a civilization, then commit to the bit.
Commit to the bit. So this is happening all while the girls are, they're still at the beach. They're packing onigiri, apparently wrapped in newspaper or something. Comic book pages?
Yeah, packing onigiri in Makoto's backpack is genuinely, it almost made me cry.
Did it really?
It was so cute. I just, really, the whole moral of this episode for me was Makoto must be safe. If anything happens, I will scream and cry and punch and throw and break.
Right.
The jury's still out on that one, unfortunately. But
yeah, we don't know their end result. But like, even during this scene where they're packing onigiri for Makoto because they're going back to their parents, and they even say like, me and my parents don't really like, you know, that it's not great for them at home. The group is telling them to present exactly how they want to while they're at home to just do it. And I was like, that's some good friend support, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These girls, they deserve a lot better than this that's happening to them.
Especially
what's your, the girl in the bottom corner, whose name is it Futaba? The one with all the brothers?
Futaba is the one who got the doohickey and then.
Oh, that's right. That's the doohickey girl.
Yeah. Her name, James, we have a whole document.
I know.
Can you open the document?
Maybe.
I feel like her name is short. I want to say it's like I.
Oh, was I not the one who got squished? There's so many characters in the show.
Who got squished?
The point being, I feel bad for June. she really gets the worst of it in this episode.
No, I feel so bad for that's what I was like holding. It is I. Okay, that's what I was like holding back from when we intro'd the show because I was just like, all her siblings are dead, man.
Yeah.
And she's just like losing it. And this is okay, so this is the catalyst of my mixed feelings for this episode. Okay. So like the horrible thing happens. It's not quite as bad as it could have been. We're looking at the back of Oron's brother here.
Yeah. Oba is able to, minimize.
Minimize
the destruction. So it's just, as far as we know, just Tokyo yes. explodes, not all of Earth.
Yeah, it basically changes so these pink kind of bubbles were going to emit, and if anything that touched them, it would cause them to explode. But they don't look dangerous, so a bunch of people who see them do like poke them just to kind of, what is that?
Yeah, including Ai's brother, which is like one of the most
one of the
darkest moments of the whole
episode. Is. I don't know if we have a screenshot of him, but like
we do. I mean, thankfully, it's not.
It's not grab. Well, all the
worse that we don't see it.
Yeah, all of this happens pseudo off screen, so we just hear the noise and see the blood splatter, and it happens multiple times, right? And so those bubbles don't end up like traveling all over the world. Instead, they end up being restricted to Tokyo. But then there's also the giant explosion, you know, the other Ava moment. There's the giant explosion, and that just wipes out a ton of people. So the rough part of this for me is that we see Ai like absolutely hysterical because she knows, you know, things are bad for her siblings, and her friend is kind of holding her back. But we also see Ouran and Kadode are having kind of a heartfelt moment sort of thing going on, where like it's all that destruction is happening, but the voiceover the entire time is about like their intimate feelings for one another and how important they are for each other. Mm. And like, or set to like a pop song.
Yes. Again, very Ava.
Yeah, very Ava. They've got this cheery pop song kind of going on. Oh, Kami-chan, you have not missed Bird Chat, for those wondering. But yeah, so there's this pop song going on, and it's kind of just about how important, how they're the absolute to one another. And so all the voiceover is about that. But in the background, like, Ai is absolutely miserable because her family's dead. And so the feeling that I got from that scene, and I want to know if you feel the same way, is that Ouran's love for Kadode, her fixation for Kadode, I mean, it being her absolute, isn't quite as heartfelt touching as it is anymore, because it almost seems like that's the only thing that's important. Everything else happening out here is like kind of limited. I mean, maybe Ouran, you know, but I mean,
it's a little, I think I'll need to see more of the fallout, because mm-hmm. I think your reading is like not in any way wrong or like unearned. I think the show is very much trying to contrast the utter, I mean, we see Ouran's brother get like obliterated. Like, I mean, we were being very, you know, confronted with the fact that a lot of characters that we know, not to mention hundreds of thousands or millions of people, are dying, right? This is horrible. I think for me, the line that helps maybe tonally make sense for me is when I think it's Ouran says, like, we were mostly just relieved that this thing that we'd been waiting for years had finally happened.
Yeah, so that's the line that stuck with me too. And I think maybe we pulled a little differently from it, because like on one hand, personal here, on one hand, like I can totally sort of relate to that. I wrote a feature several years back about the catharsis of Armageddon.
Yeah.
And that's like entirely what it was about. But that, when I wrote that feature was sort of, it was couched a lot in depression. And that's like kind of an underlying theme for the shows that I talk about in there, about how as a depressed person, just the relief that you can feel at knowing that there is finally an end to everything and that it's over, and that sense of relief. And I think that sense of relief also exists in End of Evangelion in the final scene, where it's just the lapping water and Shinji comes back and like everything's happened and it's just kind of quiet. Like there's no like underlying music or anything. And I bring that up in the future. So
what do you do? Right. I mean, like,
like
the world's ended, like you can't, you know, all you can. And we talked earlier about with Ouran, it's a little tricky. And I think it kind of depends on how you look at it, mm-hmm. because I think the show Alien Homeboy, the scout guy, Isobayan Alien. The way that he explained it made it seem more less like time travel and more like universe hopping.
Yeah.
And so to me, as I was watching this episode, I was thinking like, oh my God, like, are we supposed to feel like our one of our protagonists is culpable in this? Like that this is literally something that the Ouran chose, like that she's basically killed all these people for the sake of her relationship with Kadode. But I think it's less that, And again, we'll have to see how it shakes out. But I feel like it's more she has decided that she would rather live in the world where all of this happens and she still has Kodode than vice versa, where she doesn't have Kodode, but the world is still. So it's not necessarily that she's causing it. She's just, like you said, she is kind of choosing what is the most important to her. Mm-hmm. And on the one hand, that's not necessarily, I don't know. It's, I guess, is it healthy? I don't know.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like if you asked me, like in this moment here, if I had to choose between like my wife and the state of Colorado where we live, there's a part of me that is would probably be tempted to be like, well, we had a good run, Colorado, but you know, I have my.
That's rough because I actually think that if I brought my husband in here right now and asked him like me or the entire state of Washington, he would just pick me and then walk out. Like So I do feel like I think he would, which I mean, but that's not ever going to happen. And so also,
no, and that's also, right. That's what makes it, because it is
probably thought like, the same thing experiment. Though. Yeah, it's a thought experiment, but I think that also Oron at kid. The time thought it was a thought experiment too. They're like, well, I mean, if you do this, it could end the whole world. And it's like, she wasn't at a point when that decision was given to her where that was something like she deeply considered the pros and cons of and the weight of the decision. She was like, well, of course I'm choosing my best friend. And then just,
well, and you know, it's worth remembering that all of these characters have been living in this shell of trauma for years.
Yes.
Right. Where they've basically been told every day the end is near. Kodode lost her dad. You know, her mom went off the rails. Oron's brother, you know, we still don't really know kind of what happened to their family, but we get that message from her brother where it's really clear that like that was her only support when everything else has been falling apart.
Yeah.
And so I think you're right that it is kind of disturbing that the characters would be able to find this intimacy and this joy in the middle of like probably the worst thing that's ever happened to every single person they know.
Yeah.
You know, we see Ai just crumble to the ground. We see Makoto, you know, like clinging for dear life while the world is falling apart around them.
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of what I think is so cool about the show is that it's kind of exploring like how things can be so ugly, but so beautiful at the same time.
Yeah.
Messy.
Yeah. I do think maybe you can look at the scene with the framing that at least internally, Oron is just thinking of, you know, feeling some sense of relief because Kodode is there for her in this like horrible thing. And of course, like maybe once like the dust settles, you know, she'll turn to Ai and be able to comfort her too. Also, for those of you who, you know, this is like huge spoiler, so I'm gonna show this screenshot. So this is like your 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 comeback if you don't want to see it. What about this?
I mean, I think it's the least surprising kiss in the history of anime.
Okay.
In that, like the way that these two girls have been acting, I had assumed for a long time that Kodode was in love with Oron and that her relationship with the teacher was just kind of her way to try to like maybe pursue something more, you know, normal by society standards.
Big quotes on that because he's
more like the idea that like maybe she thought, well, you know, I can't be in love with my friend who's a girl, so I should probably pursue a guy instead.
Yeah.
And here's my teacher who I, you know,
it's like the only guy I have like
like
any kind of rapport with outside of
like, but even in that relationship she straight up felt like, no, Oren's the most important person in the world to me, like I'd do anything for her. And when she said that, I'm like, oh, like not to discount platonic friendships and like, you know, familiar relationships, but especially with everything that Oren's done for her, I've at least assumed that their feelings go beyond just being friends, whatever that means, right? Like,
there's an intensity to their feelings as well that I mean, female friendship, especially that age, can be really intense, but there's just sort of, don't want to like discount that I felt like there was a real spark between Oron and Oban as well. So I still feel like that's legitimate, but I think like when it came time for Oron to like try to express like the depth of her feelings for Kodode and like if she couldn't come up with like this was like the best way to communicate that.
And this is like right before, my understanding is that Oron knows, Oba told her basically that we're all going to die soon.
Yes.
And we have like one day and she knows that Oba's going to try to fix it, but realistically like the whole world could end literally any minute. And yeah. So to me, it also feels like this moment of like, well, like if the world is going to end, what's the one thing I need to do before that happens? So I go out without any regrets. And it's like, yeah, that makes sense. That's
yeah. It. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, they immediately recover from this. Like it doesn't cause like any kind of long, awkward moment either. And even their girlfriends don't really consider it like strange either.
Well, it's one of those things where it's like how anyone could be surprised by this.
Yeah.
Like in their social group, right? Like if you spend time around these two, and we've all had those friends, right? Whether they're maybe they are out and they're just like, you know, having that awkward thing, or maybe they're not and it's just really obvious to like everyone. I was a theater kid, and boy howdy, let me tell you, I knew many a Kodode and an Oran. Insofar as you know, the two boys or the two gals, where everyone else was like, just come on, just kiss.
Just kiss, Dave.
Come on. We all know that you're soulmates. Like this, you know, let's just stop dancing around it. Yeah. You know, the chemistry is real.
Yeah.
It was sweet. I liked it.
Yeah.
I'm glad Oba's not dead too.
Yes. So that was the next picture that I was gonna show. Like, Oba's not dead. That boy is deeply wounded and his arms burnt up.
No thanks to what's his butt, freaking evil Gegege.
I am mad that evil Gegege is not dead.
I know.
Because I know so that they, like, there was some visual implication. Okay, he, like, falls off the spaceship after putting two into Oban here. He falls completely off the spaceship, but we are allowed to see that his helicopter hat or whatever falls off with him and not a very far distance. I'm like, oh, so there's a possibility he grabs that in midair and puts it on his head fine. But you don't actually see any of that. Later, he's just in a boat with the HR lady, right?
I think so.
I think she's in the boat with him.
I have a screenshot of that, but yes.
Yeah, Oban, I think he's rescued by, I don't know if these are Japanese military or American. I wasn't sure.
I was wondering if that was the same guy that we followed in that one-off, the dude
I'd have to go back and watch the one guy who felt real bad about killing the aliens.
Because that'd be kind of a nice, like, full circle moment. Like, you know, he actually, he reaches a hand out to save one instead of killing one. You know?
Yeah.
I'd like that. Do
we also think Hiroshi, Oran's brother, is dead?
Oh, he's 100% dead.
I liked him a lot.
I know.
He's the good guy. You know,
you don't leave a voicemail that long in an episode like this and survive.
That's true. 100% dead. Yeah, this was.
The dog he had also dead, which is even.
Oh yeah, because it was in the car.
Just the stupid looking dog.
they had to have been some dark humor because like they're doing all the like shots of various places around town where people that we know, you know, are dying and whatnot. And then it shows the brother and then it like holds on the dog's dumb face for like 10 seconds or something.
Yeah.
And there's like the sad pop music's weird song is playing and they're just holding there. I'm like, okay, we're good. The dog's dead. But like every animal in this show has the stupidest face you've ever seen. So yeah. So James and I were talking off camera too. So this was episode 16, right?
Yes.
And so we think there's an episode 17 and an episode 18, but we don't know if episode 0 is counting. So it could be that there's one more episode and it's 18 episodes total counting 0, or there's two more episodes and then 0 was like a weird bonus. I don't know.
Yeah.
So
not clear yet.
Yeah, not clear yet.
I mean, we definitely know we're we're at the end. There's really not much more we can do, right? It's mostly going to be like I'm trying to decide, do we watch episode 0 to like fill the unbearable gap until the next episode, or do we wait to see if like
I don't know. Also, I just want to add that another reason why I think Makoto is probably still alive is because Oban gave the future viewer thing, and that hasn't been followed up on. So
And Makoto, they were leaving Tokyo, weren't they? They were like going.
They were on their way to parents, so I assume the same rural area that Futaba is at.
Yeah,
Futaba's still alive as well. Yeah. So,
and that's why I am like, we don't. This is how nerdy I was getting. I was looking at the lighting of the scenes. I'm like, okay, the scenes with Futaba and Makoto were keyed in gray, and that to me indicates that they are far enough from the blast zone that they're just feeling the effects, but they're not going to get hit with the evil bubbles.
Did you say a specific color there? Would you say
they were like they were gray? They were like
they're gray as opposed to the orangish.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping it's that valid. That's valid evidence, yeah. I think. So, yeah. All right. Let's get on to Yantagarasu, which was where we found out about the evil monkey in the well.
Yeah.
Found out
a great development, I must say.
A great development, yeah. I
love a good well monkey in a story. We need more of those.
And found out what happened to Kodote's dad. Also, Yukiya got
Kome's.
Kome, I said Kodote, didn't I? Yeah. Kome's dad.
We still don't know what happened to Kodote.
No, we still don't know what happened to Kodote's dad. Two dads.
I'm gonna laugh if he genuinely just has been chilling in life. Like some other city smoking cigarettes.
Something in Sapporo or something like that.
Anyway, that's Yantagarasu, bird show.
Yeah, and then Yukiya kind of, he gets a talking to a little bit about his suspicions.
Jumping the gun, right? Speaking of valid evidence, he maybe needs to,
reevaluate his. He cannot just be throwing this kind of stuff around purely on vibes. So, first,
to be fair, we do learn that Kome's whole family is sus as hell.
Yes.
And that her dad was just a goddamn idiot.
Yes.
And so,
he doesn't
have a lot to go on other than times, your father was a moron.
He was a moron, okay? They were talking about the choices he made, and there were multiple times where I was like, bro, you had opportunities to walk away. You had a long opportunity to walk away from this terrifying monkey living in the well that you bought, well that you bought without checking to make sure there was water in it first.
Sight unseen, bought a well, and people were like, "Nah, dude, we swear there's water in it." He's like, "All right,
I've only dealt with one dried up well before. What are the odds that I'll get a second one?"
It's not like this is like an infinitely deep abyss. You can see
the bottom of it.
I can see the monkey.
I can literally see the gravel on the ground there. Like it's not that deep. No. And he's just very, we appreciate the little Shop of Horrors vibes, guys. And he's just, he gets his
But imagine if Seymour from Little Shop of Horrors was to say several murders in that this was when he realized he was helping feed people to a plant. Like the moment that made me crack up was when the dad was, "This is when I realized I was not helping a god, but an evil monkey that lived in the well." All I could think was, "No shit, man." When the guy says, "Sure, you could call me God if you want,"
I'm like, first off, that's some classic devil shit. Second, like, no, yeah, you can see the bottom of the well. You can see it was dry. Never should have bought it in the first place. But you know what? Like, he made a tidy sum turning drugs.
Turning the first three times.
Turning
evil bone drugs. He sees that they are bones and he sells them to the doctor. And he just says, "You know what? God provides. God works in mysterious ways." But if you ever have to ask a disembodied voice, "Is that you, God?" And their response is, "Sure, why not?"
Fine. All right, you're hard up. You made a really bad investment. Oh, first off, I don't really understand. Was he selling water? Like, why?
They were selling water. They were water. You know, they were like the Nestle.
They were like the Nestle.
But he fails at selling water once, and then his solution to that problem is to try to buy another well
without looking at it. All right, and then okay, you make some drug money to get out of debt. Fine, you know what? I wouldn't have even judged him for doing that for a little while, but he couldn't. At no point has this monkey shown that it has any desire to get out of the well, or that it will come out after, come get him or something. So I'm just saying, why
that it can do anything other than provide drugs. It'd be like if you went to your local weed dealer and was like, he may as well be a god. He's handing me dime bags left and right. Like, what other explanation?
Why didn't he just walk after he had saved enough of the drug money to do something else? Buy another well? I don't know.
And the thing is like, the thing like vaguely threatens to eat his daughter and wife. And he's like, homie, he's stuck in a well. He's at no point demonstrated that he has the power to do anything but throw drugs at you. Why are you afraid of him?
I don't know if he could have gotten out of the well. Like, I don't know if this was this monkey's whole shtick was just to like see who like this well exists in an area of disrepair. I don't think it's getting free. Like, I don't know if just being spooky was like a hobby for him, because I could understand that. I've joked with people about like getting to be a certain age and then just, you know, deliberately scaring children that walk past my house, just like for the vibes.
Deliberately, you know? Creating the monster house of your neighborhood.
Yes, right. Like, that sounds fun to me. And so if that's what he was trying to do with this well, you know, he saw the ring and he was like, that seems like a good gig. Then sure, go ahead. But like Yukiya, I have no sympathy for your dad. Okay. Like, guy was an idiot.
And to Kome's credit, she copped to that right away.
Yeah, she's like, my dad's
stupid. First thing we ever learned about this guy was my dad sucks. Like, you really don't get it, Yukiya.
Yeah.
My dad sucks at everything.
Yukiya was very judgmental of, like, how much she didn't care about her dad. And it's like, well.
And that shoes on the other foot now, Yukiya. Yeah. Because now he's like, who cares what happened to that guy? He sucked. It's like,
he sucked.
It's like, Kobe tried to tell you.
So, I mean, it got to the point where her dad was legit drugging / kidnapping ladies off the street and just throwing them into wells while he ate them, you know, all kinds of stuff. But
he felt bad about it, to be fair.
Bad. Yeah. There's a little bit more to this, like, creepy well monkey, because our dashing prince, I don't know, something peeved him off. So he just, like, jumped straight in there, and then we find out there's, like, a secret door and all of that. So this was, like, a secret way that they could infiltrate into the northern village, I think. We find out this monkey's very, very old. This is an old monkey. He's been up to stuff for a while. I'm interested in this monkey's shenanigans.
He might actually be a god, funnily enough. Like,
he might be immortal.
He might be immortal or something.
Like, not really sure. I did also appreciate that the monkey confronted him and he's like, so why'd you kill those kids? And the prince didn't have what I thought was actually a very good... He was like, well, you killed kids too.
That's not how you confront problems, prince. That's you can't move. You can't just... what's the fallacy?
Eye for an eye?
Yeah, or the... It's not moving the goalposts. But yeah, no, you can't just say, well, you also did bad things, so the bad things I did are fine, right? Like, no.
Yeah.
You still murdered two children.
Still murdered two children, and they did not seem, you know, like they were a direct threat. They were
nibbling.
They were annoying nibbling. Yeah, but
they didn't even draw blood, I don't know.
You could have just knocked them over the head and knocked them out or something. Yeah. Like, come on. Yeah. So, sorry, I mean, I already pulled up the screenshot, but
it's also great shot, it's
just Yukiya, and, you know, they're, like, reaching their hands out, like, no, what are you doing? Don't jump down the well.
It's a perfect encapsulation of the show, really.
Yeah.
Like, they're constantly saying, prince, no, and the prince is just...
No.
Prince, yes.
Yeah. One of the things that Yukiya also has to deal with is that he thinks that Kome, you know, is hiding all this stuff, and she kind of is, and it's the only thing that she appears to be hiding is that her mom was also dealing drugs, right? Yes.
Well, that's what we learned at the very end.
Right?
Because we are told that there is a pretty two-mold girl that was selling drugs. And, you know, Yuki only knows one of them.
Yeah.
And so he immediately starts accusing her, which, by the way, let's just be real. He has a crush and he doesn't know how to direct those feelings.
He doesn't know how to deal with his intense anger at feeling like, yes, he cares about her, I think is what it is. Yeah. He's mad.
He is Calvin and she is Susie, and they're just going to go around in circles. But when she hears that there was a sketchy two-mold woman selling drugs to people, knowing full well what they did, her first thought was, oh my God, it's my other shitty parent.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the only answer. My mom, who also sucks.
Who's like beautiful, but she's working in, I don't know, it kind of doesn't seem like she's like in a great area or something.
It looks like maybe like a textile or.
Or it might have been a textile place. I mean, maybe she's working in manufacturing. I'm just saying that like she didn't look like she was like in the hoity-toity district or anything, right? There's also this mystery, which is something else the monkey says, and they keep telling the prince to like ignore him because he might just be up to monkey shenanigans, which possibly valid, but
monkey business.
But yeah, Yuyata Garasu have survived by forgetting inconvenient truths. And like, what's that mean?
They haven't addressed climate change, and it's.
If climate change is affecting why like the barrier is breaking and stuff.
Hell yeah.
No, come on, no.
Yes.
No.
Too much greenhouse gases. They're using too much hairspray.
Yeah.
You gotta get rid of all those pressurized cans, all those aerosols.
Yeah. Hey, folks in the chat, tell us what you think the inconvenient truth is. Wandering Dream says that we are all born from eggs.
You know what? That's true.
Microplastics. Microplastics.
A monkey cracks open a Yatagarasu egg and it has all these little plastic specks.
Oh, gross. Oh, no.
GMOs.
Poke Geek Dom also brought up that, you know, there's still the possibility that like the whole concept of being the Kinu isn't real. He has a bird form because we've seen his arm transform and stuff, right? But I mean
he has pretty eyes, you know.
Yes.
They're pretty magical.
Magical. You get lost in them, you know. But
it's been a little ambiguous how much of the Kinu is meant to just be like a title. Mm-hmm. And like a just like an inheritance sort of thing, or if he's literally supposed to be able to turn into a big giant golden bird and do giant golden bird stuff.
PKMNJ fan says the next episode is called Golden Kinu, which I did notice, and I'm expecting big things from that. So there's that.
Is that the last episode? That is the last.
It is. Yatagarasu
is for sure ending next week, right?
It for sure is ending next week.
Can't handle that.
I know, it's really upsetting. Also, I feel like there was some stuff going on with Hamayu, but I can't recall what it was because she was doing some stuff with.
Yeah, there's the thread with Hamayu and what's his name? The retainer guy.
Yukio?
Maybe, yes.
We really should have the doc open.
I do have it open.
Uh-huh.
It's right here. His name is. Oh, wait, that's
Kaiju. Sumio. Thank you, Wanda.
There we go. Sumio.
Okay.
I was like, his name's not Kafka. What is this? We watched Kaiju Never Ate a While.
Yeah, Sumio. Yeah.
But, like, because there was that bit last time where, like, he was flying by Hamayu's room and saw that one girl there, and he had, like, I've been deceived. And I couldn't quite follow what that was connected to, other than, I think. Maybe him realizing that the prince.
I think it was him realizing that she was standing in for him. And that the prince had absconded.
That was it? Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I've been trying to felt like they've been trying to like seed some stuff with Hamayu that maybe I just wasn't following.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I really like the end of episode. You know, they always have that end card with art.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful. And the one for this episode was Hamayu like drinking her sake, like laying down, and the lady in waiting just sort of looking annoyed with her. I just imagine like while all this stuff's happening, they're just like doing stupid stuff.
The prince made that whole to-do about how he can have as many prostitutes as he wants. and he said that he'd never let her like be with another guy.
Yeah. Or that she could, yeah. But
I mean, what's a lady in waiting between two pals / partner, you know? I mean,
Hamayu has huge Takarazuka vibes, like Lady Oscar kind of stuff. For sure.
Let a girl have a side piece. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, yeah. So let her smooch on some other girls
if her husband's gonna be out cavorting with prostitutes all the live long day. I mean, come on.
If it's a mutually agreed upon between the two of them, then like, why not? Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Consenting adults, open communication, all that stuff.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. So that about wraps it up for this week. We will be back next Tuesday with at least one finale. So we'll be back next Tuesday with the finale of Yatagarasu. If you've been following that show, you know, my hope is that Yatagarasu somehow makes it into the anime awards, and all 2,200 of us right here vote for it, and it still won't win, but it will make me happy. So, yeah.
Wait, Lindsay, the next Tuesday, is that not the trailer watch party day?
No, trailer watch party is Wednesday.
Got you. Okay.
Yes. So also keep an eye on that, because we finally locked in a date, and I just, you know, need to get some art finished for the thumbnail for it. But the fall trailer watch party will be on Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Jeff Thew from Mother's Basement will be back with us, as well as Jackie Jing. I heard, but have not officially counted, that there is, like, I don't know, 75 anime premiering this season. It's just disgusting. Yes. So
is that the most? That might be the most you've ever
heard. It might be the most ever. I will make sure that if it is,
because I know we've been in the 50s and 60s over the last couple of years, but I don't think we've ever hit the 70s.
I don't think we've ever hit the 70s. Yes, everyone, that is this upcoming Wednesday, a week from tomorrow, if you're watching this live. So, yes, come back on September 25th at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern for the fall trailer watch party. There's so many good shows. We talked about how there's like a lot, but a lot of them are also good, off the top of my head. Maybe when we come in next time, we'll talk about our most anticipated ahead of the trailer watch party, James.
Yeah.
Since I think that'll probably be up, or at least turned in from the editorial team. So indeed. Yeah. It's definitely Don to Don.
But it's not even. I mean, yeah,
it's not even close. Spoiler
alert. I'm excited for Don to Don. What do we want to do?
All right, everybody. Thanks for sticking it out. And we'll see you again next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.